the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
I peep shit, but stay quiet. Tom Bone ticks, one man riot. I raise kings, call me sire. My passion burns like wildfire. The last group attract in how I begin. Song reminiscing truth to my fucking bitter end. By myself so much, loneliness is my friend. As long as the embers burn, peace filled within. What up, people? Welcome to another edition of the Salty Door to Donnie. The Salty Door to Mike Steph podcast. I'm so discombobulated at the very beginning of this podcast, I forgot who the hell I be. But I will tell you, I be Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. Yeah, man. I'm back with another edition. I'm back with another episode. I'm back for another week. I'm back. Matter of fact, I'm back in the winning column. Something I'll talk about later. I don't know why this is starting to look a little glitchy, but at this point in time, I'm letting it roll. Even with the background noise in the back that you probably can't hear as much as I can hear. Yeah. So, I got a lot of things to get off my chest this week. It's almost like a common occurrence that I start this podcast late Sunday night, early Monday morning, right around the time that my lovely daughter Mia comes in from her shoot job. And I won't say, matter of fact, you want to show people your, because I forgot the character that my daughter portrayed in her foray out into the Halloween party atmosphere or whatever. But it's from Kill Bill. It's one of the assassins. Yeah. What's her name? Gogo? Yeah, Gogo, the assassin. So come. She doesn't have the full uniform on, the costume on, because there's no way in hell I'm letting y'all have access to that. There's too many sick minds out there. But if you see her from the neck up, you should be able to kind of figure it out. Yes, I know you're 23, but still. See? And she done dropped my picture. But it's all right. Because even though she dropped my picture, what was replaced was her lovely face. I don't know. For some reason, it looks like you have contacts in, but you don't. Or do you?
No. Is it really? It's probably the lashes.
Maybe the lashes are bringing out, because my daughter has dark brown eyes, but for some reason, they look light brown right now. Like, her father actually has medium brown eyes. You know, her father actually pulled her mother by the reflection of the light into my eyes. Yes. Yes. I know it's 4 minutes in. I'm already getting on my conceited shit. And since I already said it's 4 minutes in, guess what? This is the intro. Intro. Yeah. Shoot. No. Look, it's not. What? You think your father's an ug mug?
I never said that.
Okay, so of course your father's not an ug mug. Your father is a very, very dashing individual. Okay. Not only that, the hat goes with the sweater, which kind of blends in with this, which actually accentuates the twinkle in my eye. Yeah. Bye, Mia. I'm going to need you in a minute. Well, I'm going to ask you a question in a minute, but I'll holler. Yeah, y'all get an early Mia cameo in this edition. Trick or treat, mother effers. So, anyway, like I was saying, this is going to be a jam-packed episode. I'm going to try to keep it within 90 minutes. It goes over 90 minutes, so be it. But this should have been a joyous occasion for yours truly, because the New York Jets actually WIN, but only in name only, because if anybody saw that dreck that happened this afternoon in MetLife Stadium, if anybody saw that dreck that happened this afternoon on their video screen of choice or their TV of choice or their phone of choice, you will know a win is a win is a win. I will never take it back, but there's nothing to be proud of. So, yeah, that would be one, or should I say, that would be the main event of what I'm going to be talking about this week. Also, I will be getting into the New York Knicks' first three games of the season. I won't get into it in depth, but I see an alarming pattern that's going on, and I'm not really feeling it. We're 1-2 on the season. I predicted that we were going to be a top four team, at least in the East. Dare I say top three? And if what I saw in the first three games continues in the nearby future, we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems on our hands. So that's going to be on tech this week. And last but not least, of course, I will get into my favorite segment, maybe not your favorite segment, but my favorite segment, Mike Steffen with a bumped his mother effing head, a.k.a. My NBA, matter of fact, NFL gambling recap of the week, in which I actually have a surprise on hand. But I'll tell you that when we actually get to that segment. But I will say this. It wasn't so much a 50-50. It wasn't so much cowardice on my behalf. But let's just say a streak has been broken in week 8 of this National Football League season. Yeah. So that's what's on deck this week. But before I get into the actual episode, two things happened to me today that I would be remiss if I didn't share with the masses, with the viewership at large, and actually maybe have a little witty antidote on what I'm talking about. Ha! First, in the past, I would have my weekly trip to my favorite place in Brooklyn, my favorite supermarket in Brooklyn, and that would be Wegmans. But being the fact that I've had to cut down the poundage, had to cut out a lot of the sweets, had to cut out a lot of the goodies. Me going to Wegmans is like a reformed sex addict going to a brothel. Probably not a good idea, because there'll probably be some cake I want to stick my... Regardless, you get the gist. So what I've been doing since I've been on this newfound health kick, since I've shed about 15 to 17 pounds from this simply ravishing body of mine, I've been going to Trader Joe's. Yes, Trader Joe's. For years, For years, I ain't gonna lie, for years. I stayed away from Trader Joe's because I was under the misconception that it was expensive as fuck. I was under the misconception that, whoa, you know, a lot of places to eat healthy, you gotta have actually have a healthy appetite in your wallet. I kind of got it misconstrued, or should I say, I mistook it for Whole Foods. Whole Foods, that's another category whatsoever. But instead, but once me and my wife start going to Trader Joe's on a regular basis, we realize, look, it's very affordable. A lot of it is healthier. And the one thing about it is, most Trader Joe's, the atmosphere is very friendly. Sometimes I would personally say it would border on nauseating to the point how nice people are. But in this society nowadays, if you come across people that actually enjoy, matter of fact, I won't even say enjoy their work, but actually enjoy having a conversation, actually legitimately friendly, then that's something that you should actually take advantage of, right? So, especially when me and my wife go together, we usually catch to have a conversation while we're getting checked out. Sometimes my wife will exchange recipes or talk about certain meals that is a favorites and so forth, right? You know, it's part of the experience. Even when you look on the Google reviews, it's like, yeah, you know, I don't know where they send these people or what kind of customer service training they have for their staff, but this staff is amazing. They will find something about you to start a conversation with and pretty much blow smoke up your ass and make sure that you're leaving on cloud nine, right? This week wasn't the case. Wasn't the case at all. We made a journey to a different location because we usually go to the one down at City Point, downtown Brooklyn, near the old Albee Square Mall. We used to go to that one. Before that, we would go down into what they call that, Carroll Gardens, Court Street, Atlantic Avenue, the original one in Brooklyn. We would go there. Fine. Don't have a problem. The only problem is parking, because in those areas, parking is next to nil, right? So a couple weeks ago, the one down the City Point, the one down on Flatbush Avenue, we heard it through the grapevine that they had a flood. Main vein broke, or some type of pipe broke. So they had a flood. And being the fact that Trader Joe's is down downstairs, like a couple levels down, I was like, we need to give them time to kind of change over the inventory so we don't get no contaminated food, so to speak. Around this time, I think either my wife mentioned or I mentioned, I'm like, you know, they got a Trader Joe's in Williamsburg. She's like, I'm like, yeah. So she's like, you know what? Let's try to go. So I said, all right, fine. So we went. Right. It was on Kent Avenue, in the heart of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, in the heart of Hipster Haven. Needless to say, the clientele there wasn't friendly whatsoever. They don't, I swear, mother effers don't understand the word, or just don't have definition of the word, excuse me, you know, like if you're trying to get something in this shelf and I happen to be in your way, it costs you nothing to say, excuse me, I'm trying to get that jar of peanut butter. Excuse me, I'm trying to get that jar, that box of shrimp burgers. Excuse me, I'm trying to get this bag of kale. Of course, nothing to say, excuse me, right? But that's the least of my concerns, because look, I'm a born and bred New Yorker. I'm used to the shit. Doesn't really matter. Shout out to my sister, Ooh, who I know when she's watching this, she's going to pester my brother-in-law, Ooh, about We're supposed to be going to Trader Joe's. My brother be going to Trader Joe's a couple times a month. And you dragging your feet. You dragging your ass on going to Trader Joe's. My words, not hers, because, of course, Sister Ooh does not curse whatsoever. Let me stop. Speaking of which, happy life anniversary to my brother-in-law, Ooh. And happy upcoming life anniversary to my sister, Ooh. The reason I say that, they don't know why. I'm not letting the masses know why. It's just a hidden thing between the three of us. But I commence. Well, I digress. I continue. So, yeah. So, we end up with going. So, long story short, we get there and we get online and just the vibe is a little bit rough. But they had parking. That's the reason why we went. Parking, nevertheless. But, I mean, it's kind of cramped. But parking, nevertheless. So, we went. So, we get called to the register and we got this guy. I did look at his tag. His name was Aristo. Now, I was going to make a remark. Because when I sensed the tension, sensed a little attitude in the air, sensed a lack of conversation, sensed the lack of blowing of smoke being blown up my ass, I'm not going to lie, I felt the way. My wife felt the way because this mother effer did not know how to pack a bag. You know, just like I know, when you put eggs, you do not put eggs on the very top. Either pack it by itself, you give it to the customer so they could put it, so they could deal with it, or as my wife would say, you put it at the bottom, so therefore it's kind of shielded. This mother effer put it at the top. I could tell my wife told me she was starting to get a little irritated at the way he was packing the stuff and his surly attitude. Surly attitude, give a fuck of approves. Get the whole world the middle fit of you. People didn't say I think change for the better. Maybe it's because my life has been tougher than leather. Anyway. So once I saw his name, Aristo, I'm like, who names their child after an outdated LG cell phone? Aristo. I ain't gonna lie. The Aristo, I had the Aristo 1, the Aristo 2, and the Aristo 3. Maybe he's mad because he found out he was named after an outdated cell phone. I don't even think they make LG cell phones anymore, do they? Smartphones, that is. But regardless, that kind of left a bad taste in our mouth. So needless to say, we won't hold it against Trader Joe's as a whole. And withhold our patronage. We would just hold it against the Williamsburg location, and we would never inhabit that place again because some bullshit. Like I said, I did not have the prerequisite smoke blowing up my ass pores that I'm normally accustomed to having when I go to Trader Joe's. On top of that, I could swear Trader Joe's price is supposed to be pretty much the same. This was a tad bit above what we used to paying, but at the same time, being the fact of location, and you know everything is inflated in Williamsburg, it is what it is. Yeah. So, that's number one. Yeah, and I'm being long-winded today, so I'm quite sure it doesn't matter. Number two, and looks like my lovely daughter's predisposed, so I'm not gonna be able to have an input on this, but I was this day old. That's the same, right? I was 47 years old when I found out that trunk or treat is a thing. Yeah, I didn't realize trunk or treat was a thing. Origin of the story, I have grandchildren that don't live in New York. I have three grandchildren that live in Virginia and have another grandchild that lives in Florida, right? So, when we were speaking to the ones in Virginia, you know, the mother was like, yeah, you know, which we're about to take in the trunk or treat in the text, in the group text. I thought it was I thought it was a misspell. I thought it was a mistake. I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe the autospell, the autocorrect said, you know what? We ain't talking about no tricks here. So I'm going to give you some trunk. I never thought it was a thing. Until today, we're trying to get in touch with our youngest grandchild, the one that lives in Florida. And we was told that, yeah, they was out trunk or treating. I'm like, what the fuck is trunk or treating? So I asked my wife, I'm like, is this a thing? She's like, yeah. I'm like, well, I've never been a trick or treat person. I damn sure never been a trunk or treat person. Tell you the truth, I hate Halloween. I really do. I never found the pleasure in when I was a child and going trick or treating. Why? I'm gonna go and knock on people's doors and beg them for candy on a fucking uniform. I mean, fucking costume. Trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat. Nah, F that. Not begging you for your stale ass candy. When I was younger, I was spoiled. So my grandma, my lovely grandma, the week that she would go shopping, the week of Halloween she would go shopping, guess what? She just added on some extra candy to the cart. So therefore, I had all the candy in my crib that I needed. Plus, my grandma used to like her Snickers bars. So she used to buy Snickers bars. And then being the fact that my palate wasn't developed like that, I used to have Milky Way. Didn't realize Milky Way was a Snickers without the nuts, but I digress. I had Hershey Kisses, the whole nine. So I didn't need to go knock on each other's door, everybody's door. I didn't need to go knock on neighbor's doors, talk about trick or treat, looking like the berserker. Huss, 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 huss. Only my wrestling fans will get that. But yeah, I went a step further, and this is what I used to do. I think had to be about 8, 9, so I had to be like third grade, fourth grade. You know what I did? This is what I did. Trick or treat, matter of fact, Halloween, I used to write a note and put it right in front of my door. Don't knock on this door. Ain't no candy here for you. We don't partake in trick or treating. Because the candy that was in my crib was for me. Now, we fast forward to when I got older and I had kids. Now, my wife likes Halloween. She would take the kids trick-or-treating. Just never was a thing for me. So sometimes, if our schedules are conflicted, and sometimes she would need me to take them quasi-trick-or-treating against my will, I would. Or drag my feet and take them to places that I know I can get some candy with not a lot of resistance. When they would just giving candy away, or guess what I would do? I would just go to the local, well, I would go to the Rite Aid, supermarket, or what have you, and just get my kids their candy. Because far be it for me, for my kids, be like, trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat. But question, answer, whatever. Piece of trivia. Do you know that my two boys were actually in the newspaper? What was it? The Morning Call in Eastern Pennsylvania when they were younger at a Halloween party at the Boys and Girls Club, which was pretty much right across the street from us. My oldest son, Kai, he was Freddy Krueger, and his brother Mikey, Chef Mix, that y'all know, he was Michael Myers. Yeah. And if this wasn't so off the cuff, I would have had the article in my hand so I could actually show y'all. But take my word for it, I'm not gonna lie about the Morning Call. Yeah. So yeah, trunk or treat. Never thought that was a thing. So I got these pictures off Google. And trunk or treat is where you go to like either yard or a parking lot, and pretty much you go from car to car, and they like decorate their cars and trunks, and you do trick or treating in the vicinity of the cars. Look at this. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know how safe I feel. I think that is. Because if you're not paying attention to your child, who's to say that one of these cretins won't just throw your child in the trunk and try to go away with him? I don't know. But my wife said it was a thing. So I guess it's a thing. I mean, I got visual proof. Also, I asked her. I was like, well, was this something that happened before the pandemic? So she said she believes so, but she think it might have become more popular during the pandemic because, you know, you didn't want people going to random people's houses. You was outside. It was just maybe like a different thing. So I guess this trunk or treat became a thing during the pandemic. I don't know for sure, but that's what was told to moi. So yeah, I was 47 years old when I realized or found out that trunk or treat was an actual thing. So yeah. So this is probably something I could have said at the end, but nah, F that. It's my podcast. Do what I want to do. And especially being the fact that it's not that much positive news that's going to spew out of this spout concerning my New York Jets, even though with their winning, with their victory today, I figure I'll take it old school and have a long ass intro, which I think this might be close to the record. I'm not sure, but I have a long ass intro for the masses. Before I get everything totally officially on the way, I would love to wish matter of fact, this past week, not only was it my brother-in-law Ooh's birthday, it was my late Uncle Jane's birthday, 25th to be exact. Affectionately known as G-Builder. Uncle James, every day when you was a little child in the family, every day Uncle James was around was Halloween. Well, except for the candy, because Uncle James loved the kids, you know. He really did. He would call up to the window, especially when Maina Van Kay was younger and she was going to daycare. A lot of times he would take her to daycare, and he would have a little cup of tea ready for her. So she would be sipping tea on her way on her way to daycare. You know, in the afternoon he would go, you know, have some sweets, have some candy, have some fruit. For Maina Van Kay. So it's been 12 years since his passing, but he's still in our hearts, still in our minds, our hearts, and we love him dearly and we miss him dearly. So I really meant to say that last week, and I don't know, but yeah. So love you, G Building. Love you, Uncle James. Always in my heart. So, with all that being said, kind of awkward transition, but transition it will be. Because, you know, he was actually a Jets fan, also. He actually saw them in the playoffs before he passed. So, that's a good thing. So, without further ado, let's get this show on the road. Let's get the show on the way. So good night. Gah! And goodbye. Bam! Yeah, man. You read what that says. The miracle at MetLife. The Jets outlast the Giants. Now, I actually did something that normally I don't do on the Salty Thought to Mike Steph. And that is actually make a little bit of an outline so I could kind of focus my thoughts, focus my venom, if you will, in the direction it needs to be directed. So before I actually get into my salty thoughts on what I saw, even though I kind of gave you a little preview when I was talking about the dreck that I saw today on my screen, I'm going to plug my other entity that I'm a part of, that I'm co-host of, Hidden Gems Football, with my partner, the Mojo King, and the sly slander he was throwing. And let you be the judge of whether this was a sincere pick or not.
We went through all the games that we had to go to, but I have one more survivor pick that I'm going to sneak in there somewhere. And I wanted your opinion on this, okay? Ready for it?
Go ahead.
All right. I am going to put a survivor play on the New York Jets. I think they defeat the Giants this week. I believe the Jets are 1-point favorite. What do you say, Mike Steph?
I think you're doing the reverse psychology, and you're putting a hex on my team. But no, that would be a good play. That would be a good play. And of course, I'm biased. But if you think about it, the New York Jets defense against a ravaged offensive line of the G-men, the New York Jets defense against Tyrod Taylor, go figure. Then I'm going to say the Jets have more firepower than the Giants because both of them are kind of middling offenses. But I think I don't trust the Giants to. Ooh, that matter of fact, that would be a very educated pick. So I do agree. I don't trust your intentions, but I think it's a good play.
All right, let's go Jets. Woo!
You know, I have a feeling this is a setup for next week. You'd be like, you see, for one time, I got on the bandwagon and you screwed me.
Yeah. See, this week, I cannot lose.
Yeah,
because if I win, I win. And if I lose, I still win.
Yeah, I know. This is like I said, there's an ulterior motive with this. Shoot. I swear, if this happens the way I, for some reason, just put that seat in the back of my mind, I swear next week is going to be Hidden Gem Football after dark. Yeah, I think I was playing. I was dead serious. You know, it would have been bad. And I've kind of reached out to the Mojo King in various ways today. To let him know that, to put it out there that, yeah, that was actually going to be a thing. See, I'm going to take you behind the curtains a little bit. Matter of fact, I'll take you behind the curtains later. Let's get down to business. Man, fuck it. I just already said it. Hidden Gems Football, you know, he's in charge of the editing, right? He's in charge of making sure everything is great. Everything is pristine when we put it out to the masses. So, as much as it might seem that I have no filter on my mouth when it comes to the salty thoughts of Mike Steph, well, that's because it's the salty thoughts of Mike Steph. Salty thoughts of Mike Steph. When it comes to Hidden Gems Football, it's more of a family entity. It's not solely mine. I have to be cognizant of who I work with, what I represent, and I don't represent just myself. I represent a team, a community, if you will. So, you know, like I said, and plus, that's where the bread is at. Shoot. I'm going to say I don't get no bread from this. This is purely passion. Anyway. But, yeah, I'm going to tell him, like, look, it's going to be a whole bunch of editing. It's going to be a whole bunch of censoring because if he would have put the hex on my fucking team, we would have had a problem. Matter of fact, there might not have been a Mojo King and Mike Steph episode this week. It might have just been a Mojo King episode because he would have had to chop all my shit out. Which probably wouldn't have been great for teamwork. But listen, we've been cool come to think of it, we've been cool for almost a decade. So he know what the fuck he getting into. Anyway, now actually to this game. The Jets won a game that they were dead to rights. They were dead to rights. Coming into this game, they broke a streak. Actually, they broke a streak today. Coming into this game, they had lost 7 consecutive games out of the bye week. For 7 consecutive years, they lost the game directly after the bye week. Last year was the debacle in New England when Zach Wilson headed the offense that gained about 77 yards of total offense that was averaging 2.3 inches of play in the second half that pretty much effectively got him benched until Mike White just got hurt last year when he was at the podium and they asked him, do you feel like you let the defense down? He's like, nope, don't feel like it at all, you know. Shoot, a lot of times, which it might seem like it's my fault, but y'all don't see all the intricacies and the plays and all the other mistakes that y'all see. That shit wasn't all on me. Yeah, anniversary of that game. This year, and I'm gonna sparse my words because I'm gonna try to hold true to something that I've told everybody that I've come across on the YouTube streets, on the podcasting networks, that I would not give any type of flagrant giant slander. So normally this would be a perfect time for me to just go to town, but I'm not doing it. We should have lost this game. We had stupid penalties. We had a rough in the passer penalty that directly correlated into a touchdown, the only touchdown of the game by the New York Giants. This was after Tyrod Taylor left the game due to injury, and they had Tommy DeVito behind, and they were scared to death to throw with him. We had an offsides penalty on a punt with a little over 7 minutes left in the game that, to tell you the truth, effectively should have caused it to lose the game because it allowed the New York Giants to drain another 4 minutes and change off the clock in the fourth quarter. They came out, the Jets I'm talking about, came out undisciplined after the bye week, as they always do. And if it was any other team, no, matter of fact, literally, if there was any other team that we were playing against, we would have lost. I know we would have lost. And to me, that's coaching. This game, I'm watching this game. Everything about today was deja vu. From the game that we lost early this season against the Patriots. It was an early Sunday afternoon game. We haven't had many of those this season because we was on prime time because we were supposed to have Aaron Rodgers, but I digress. It was a very cold and raw and windy and, well, cold and raw game for what we're used to this season. It was a rainy game at MetLife Stadium. Personally, it was a Sunday in which me and the missus went to Trader Joe's before the game. It was a Sunday in which I had my Jet paraphernalia on, strutting my stuff like a peacock, slushing my way through traffic to make sure I got back in front of the boob tube to watch my game. But everything else, I was listening over the phone. I was listening on the radio. And our offense was so pathetic that the only difference is we played a team with less options, or should I say more drive to lose the game than we did. To me, this game goes on coaching to a certain degree. On one hand, we was down to our fourth string center. Right? Xavier Newman filled in fresh off the practice squad. We lost 2 centers in a game. Tippmann was out. He was our backup center, whatever, but he's been out for the last couple of weeks. Connor McGovern went out with a knee injury. They replaced him with Schweitzer. He went out soon thereafter. And then we had to get Xavier Newman, who came into the game to replace Schweitzer, because Schweitzer had to go over to cover McGovern. So we was ravaged, and it's funny I say it on that clip that, yeah, our defense is going to take advantage of the New York Giants' ravaged offensive line. No, it actually ended up being the reverse. Everybody knew that Wink Martindale was going to throw the kitchen sink at Zach Wilson, because Zach has always never shown the ability to beat the blitz. Listen, defensive coordinators do not go in the game threaten that Zach Wilson. They're trying to figure out how we're going to allow the young boy to throw us the game. And to his credit, no interceptions. He did fumble, but that was a fumble snap. The snap, that was the first snap with the new center, who wasn't even supposed to be playing center. But like I said, this goes on coaching. There was no imagination on the offense, no blitz busters. They were doing screens, but the screens was like was haphazard. You know, like I said, it was almost a carbon copy of the New England game. This game, because of the lack of offense, when we was up 7-3 and Tyrod Taylor went down, I was like, you know what? We might be able to win this game 7-3. And then when the idiocy commenced in the second half, in which Jermaine Johnson had to roughen the passer and allowed the drive to continue. We had how many unsportsmanlike conduct penalties? We had almost 100 yards in penalty yards for the game. We entered this game, I believe, the third least penalized team in the league. And once again, that's coaching. But you come off a bye against a team that had been playing well and was desperate as hell, and you knew what they were going to do, and there was no imagination whatsoever. None. You know, it took a missed field goal by Graham Gano with 26 seconds left for us to even have a chance in the game, which is a debated decision, to say the least. They were so scared in allowing Tommy DeVito to put the ball in the air that it was Saquon to the right, Saquon to the left, Saquon to the middle, Saquon to the right, Saquon to the left, Saquon to the middle, and they were actually getting yardage. Saquon had like 33 rushes for about $120, $130. Meanwhile, Breece Hall had 12 touches. Well, 12 carries for 13 yards. Some asinine shit like that. He did score our only touchdown off a reception. Now, I'm going to give you some stats. Even though normally I'm the vibe guy, I'm going to give you some stats. Yeah, this actually going to be some stats on the Saucy Thoughts of Mike Steph. You know, these two teams were combined for four for 34 on third down conversions. The Giants, the G-men, had minus 9 yards passing net. I mean, take account of the sacks and everything. Tyrod Taylor, like I said, he had to get taken to the hospital due to a rib injury. I mean, Tyrod, man, I don't know what's going on. And tell you the truth, I think part of me wants to believe that if Tyrod Taylor did not get knocked out the game, the Giants would have won this game, because they would have had at least a threat of throwing the ball. Yeah, Tyrod, he only had like what? I think he had like negative. Sure, I'm going to look at the stats real quick. I think he had like negative 5 yards passing. All right. Tyrod Taylor was 4-7 for 8 yards, sacked 2 times. Tommy DeVito was 2-7 from -1 yard, sacked 2 times. Barkley, 36 rushes, 126 yards, 128 yards. We knocked Darren Roller out the game. Well, with a surprise. Fucking stick man himself. You know, our leading rusher was Zach Wilson. Even though he converted our first, do you know he converted our first third down of the game with just over 2 minutes remaining in the game on a 17-yard scamper? It came down to this. The Giants had the ball. Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm sorry, folks. This is so unorthodox, but for some reason, I'm so pissed right now, but I'm so pissed right now.
You know the funniest thing, which is crazy? The funniest thing about what just happened. I will give kudos to SoundCloud, StreamYard, because if this would have happened, I don't know, a couple months ago, then I would have been so pissed off because this would have been an extremely short episode. But being the fact they have that like pause option, what happened was my laptop was scheduled to update in the Windows update. And I could have swore I delayed it, but it gave me a 15-minute grace period. And then it started updating. It updated right when I was recording, right? So quick thought. That's when you saw me on a little small screen, got on my phone, realized I could actually pause it on my phone, right? So until I was able to set up my wife's laptop, which I'm on right now, to continue my recording, and I don't lose 45 minutes and some change. Because, look, it's like after 12, and I'm sorry, I wouldn't have been doing that shit all over again, so that wouldn't have worked. Anyway, I kind of forgot where I was at, but give me one moment. I'm so sorry. I don't claim to be a perfectionist, and a lot of things I do is, like, real helter-skelter, but, yeah, this is a new experience for me. That shit bugged me out. Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, so it came down to us having the ball, Zach Wilson allowing himself to get sacked on fourth down when the game should have been over. We get the Giants get the ball back, and they're content on running the ball to set up for a 30-some-yard field goal by Graham Gano, in which he misses. Now, it was like fourth and one, fourth and two. I get it. Dable's like, look, we kicked this field goal. We're up 13-7. They get the ball back with less than 20 seconds remaining, No timeouts. Zach is not driving him the whole length of the field to beat us with a touchdown. How was he supposed to know Gano was going to shank it? Which happened to be Gano's second miss of the game. Once again, even he's probably thinking, worst case scenario, Gano misses. Zach has not shown anything in the second half, especially, that he's going to be able to drive his team 50-some-odd yards to get into field goal range to tie this game up. But what does Zach Wilson do? What did Zach Wilson do? I'll tell you what Zach Wilson did. Zach Wilson actually drove the team down the field with my favorite meme. He was throwing suck my dick passes all over the field. Needless to say, he threw a suck my dick pass to Garrett Wilson for 29 yards with an offside penalty sprinkled in by Kayvon Thibodeau. Yeah, Kayvon. He was busting our ass all game. And guess what happened? When the time came, for him to take care of business, he didn't take care of business. That was the costliest penalty of the season for the G-Man. Yes, the G-Man. He had, for as dominant as he was, he had three sacks, numerous pressures, forced fumble, tackles out the wazoo, and he had an offside penalty. But what was more important about that offside penalty wasn't so much the yardage, because it was a reception. Garrett Wilson caught that ball in the middle of the field. We have zero timeouts. That penalty stopped the clock, allowed us to get one more play with a stop clock that we can actually get the ball down the field. Guess what Zach Wilson did? He threw another suck my dick pass down the middle of the field to Alan Lazard. They hurried up to the line, spiked the ball with 1 second remaining. The setup, the game tying field goal by Greg Zuerlein. Now, get the ball going overtime. Once we went into overtime, the advantage actually turned to the Jets. Not so much that we was this offensive juggernaut. It's just the fact that now the Giants actually have to try to score. They actually have to try to move the ball within a certain amount of time. The drive, the first drive of overtime where the Giants got the ball because they got the, you know, they got the coin toss. The Giants, Tommy DeVito, flat pass to Saquon, loss of one. DeVito to Saquon again, loss of gain a couple. DeVito to the flat again. Punt. Not only was it a punt, it was a shank punt. We got the ball back at like, shoot, I want to say, what, the 38-yard line? Then we had a pass interference. Matter of fact, I think we had another catch by Garrett Wilson. Then the creme de la creme, we had a pass interference against Adoree Jackson, which put us in prime, pristine field goal range. And Greg Zuerlein, tell you the truth, I ain't gonna lie, I thought he missed the kick. Because that, listen, I'll take it. Win is a win is a win. It was a miracle. I'm literally, this is what I'm doing. I'm watching the game like, Can't believe this. Can't believe it. Can't believe it. Now, I'm going to do something that I've probably done once before, but being the fact it's me, I'm going to actually play what I said right before we made this miraculous comeback at MetLife Stadium. Yeah, that's me. Silence. That's the background noise. Here's another one.
This is some bullshit. Some real life bullshit.
See, I'm a man of my word. What did I say? I ain't gonna be like a lot of these pundits.
I did say. Looks like it's gonna be hidden gems after dark. I can't. Fucking ridiculous. They shot themselves in the foot all effing day.
Look at the time of this tweet.
Day. The only reason they got the touchdown is because of a stupid penalty. You had a chance to get the ball back with 7 minutes remaining. I guess. The universe did not, I repeat, did not want an edition of Hidden Gems After Dark.
Dance your dance.
I've never felt worse in a victory. I've never felt so empty in a victory. But at the end of the day, a win is a win is a win. A victory is a victory. And I will take this victory. And I will enjoy, well, not even enjoy, but this was tough. Boy, this was tough.
See, I'm not going to be like a lot of these pundits, a lot of these media dudes that put these tweets out right before our miraculous comeback saying, yeah, which got worst loss in Jets, which got recent history, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm quite sure scrub their timeline of any type of existence of it and then talk about, well, you know, I was caught up in my feelings. No, I'm putting this shit right on record. Yeah. I was one of them. Sitting there. Like this. Did you hear the bass in my voice? Did you hear the agony, the pain, the torture in my voice? If you didn't, rewind it. I'm quite sure you can find it somewhere. I don't even know why I'm even putting the headphones on, because it's not like I'm listening to myself. I speak loud enough that I can hear myself without the headphones. But regardless, what it boils down is this. The Jets are 4-3. We're on a 3-game winning streak. And we're going against the underachieving Los Angeles Chargers next week on prime time. I believe it's a Sunday night game. If it's not a Sunday night game, it's a Monday night game. Regardless, we're going to get the Chargers. The problem is the Chargers can't score. Chargers ain't greatly coached. I mean, magnificently coached team. No, they're not.
Chargers do have offense, but we do have a defense. I will refrain from giving my pick until this week's edition of Hidden Gems Football. Perhaps, matter of fact, no, definitely. Let's put it this way. That's definitely going to be one of the ones that I'm going to talk about. But I say all that to say this. If we play the way we play today, we will be 4-4. The Chargers will be 4-4, and they will have that all-important tiebreaker when we're trying to position ourselves later on the season for a wild card spot. We're only one game behind the Buffalo Bills with the game in hand. The Dolphins, we have a schedule coming up. We have the Chargers. We have the Dolphins. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring it up so I can be right and exact. We have the Chargers next Monday. Then we're in Vegas the following Sunday night. Then we go to Buffalo. Then we have Miami on Black Friday. So those are our next four games. I'll talk about Atlanta and Houston, Houston, Atlanta, Vegas later on in the season. Because those games are going to be crucial too, because Houston and Atlanta aren't pushovers. I'm in particular looking forward to that Atlanta game because there's going to be mucho slander between me and Low Fat Beats, but we still got a month and a half to get there. Like I said, what it boils down to is we cannot afford to get this stinker. Well, the only good thing about it is maybe we got the stinker out the way and we came away with a victory, and that allowed us to tighten a lot of shit up. What we have done this season is something that we don't really have the luxury of doing. We play down to our competition and we play up to our competition. The Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bills. We played up. Dallas was the only game we really got outclassed. And I think we still shell-shocked over the fact that we didn't have Aaron Rodgers. New England. The Giants, Denver, we played down. Only good thing about it is two of those three games, we actually won. We're a 4-3 team. As Coach Parcells said, you are what your record says you are, and right now, we're a winning team. Am I proud? No. Will I take it? You're damn right. It's going to be interesting. That's a common refrain from yours truly when it comes to a lot of sports topics. This will be interesting. It'll really be interesting. But in this case, it's true. And I'm so glad that I chose to just switch laptops because Old Faithful is only 30% completed with this update. And by the time that shit updated, I might be on my way to clocking Z's. But yeah, the miracle at MetLife. Now, the last thing I'll say, and this is for my giant faithful out there. How can I say this without coming across as being an asshole? I think y'all might have a problem. And I think the problem, for some reason, I think the problem is your head coach. As much as I gave him credit last year, a lot of warts are starting to be shown. Not so much with the X and the O's, which that's part of it. That's a big part of it. But with his demeanor. I personally, sometimes I feel like the team is starting to tune him out. Because he's being way too disrespectful. When you're the toast of the town as he was last year, Coach of the Year, playoff entry, playoff victorious coach. Got to the second round of the playoffs. As when you're the toast of the town, as gracious as you was last year, should be as gracious as you are and as humble as you are this year in defeat. And this has nothing to do with today's game. This has a pattern of what's going on this season. I don't know. It's going to be some hard decisions that need to be made. I'm not even saying that y'all need to get rid of them, but maybe y'all need to have a long talk with him. Maybe Mara needs to have a long talk with him like he did with Coughlin. Like, look, you're going to have to loosen up a little bit, because how I see it, if this is prolonged, it will not be prolonged because the team is going to tune him out. And the only reason he'll probably get an additional year is because they don't want to be known as the franchise that every 2 years is 2 years and out, 2 years and out, 2 years and out, 2 years and out. And he does have a playoff victory on his resume. But yeah, it is something that needs to be looked at. And gonna be something that definitely needs to be paid attention to. Now, the Knicks, my New York Knickerbockers, my New York Knicks are 1-2 after this first week of play, the first week of the NBA regular season. They lost in heartbreaking fashion against the Boston Celtics on opening night. Letting Porzingis, letting that piece of shit drop 30 at the Garden. And then after that, they got a win in Atlanta, in A-Town. Wasn't an impressive win, but a win nevertheless. Helped by numerous layups, missed alleys by Atlanta, and Ice Trey these nuts. Ice Trey being ice cold. But like I said, a win was a win. But they followed that up with a total no-show performance Saturday night again, in New Orleans. Julius Randle has sucked. Julius Randle has been trash. I told y'all before. I told y'all in the offseason. I told y'all last year in the playoffs. I told y'all 2 years ago. Julius Randle ain't that dude. Julius Randle, marquee game. Yes, I know it's the first game of the season. I shouldn't overreact. First game of the season, 5-22 from the field. He followed that up with a 4-for-10 performance, which he almost had a triple double, but he looked like he was scared to shoot. And coincidentally, which was a win. Then he followed that up with a 4-for-15 performance in the Big Easy. That shit was nasty. You know, Julius Randle is averaging 13.5 points a game on 27% from the field and 30% from three. Yeah, I know it's three games. I know Brunson hasn't been that good himself, but I have more faith that Brunson is going to bounce back. I have faith that Brunson is going to be that steadying cog that's going to make this team go throughout the regular season. Julius Randle, to me, this is just a continuation from the playoffs. It seems like once the expectations go high, Julius Randle goes low. Didn't I tell y'all was supposed, which goal we should have kept Obi and got rid of Julius? I did tell y'all that, right? I'm not saying Obi would have been the end all, be all, however you want to say that saying. But at least we know what we got from Obi. Julius is too to the fans. He is not. Yes, he's two out of the last 3 years. He has made all the NBA team. I think last year he was second team all NBA. But that was on numbers. That was strictly on numbers. I don't trust him. I don't trust him where he counts. I don't trust him when it comes to us being that team that we need to be. I don't trust him in putting us in position to be a top three team in the East, actually contender for the Eastern Conference throne. Look, we're a team without a superstar. Matter of fact, we're a team without two superstars. Because right now, I think Jalen Brunson is boiling on superstardom. We don't have that number two. RJ Barrett, he's having a decent beginning of the season. Decent. Nothing to write home off, but nothing to just brush off either. You know, I'll give you his stats real quick. RJ Barrett's averaging 22.5 points a game, 47% from the field, 37 from the three. Jalen Brunson's averaging 20 a game. But that field goal percentage, 37.5 from the field, 48% from three. Quickly, he's averaging 15. 44% from the field, and after a hot start opening night, it's cooled off and kind of leveled out. I just hope that Coach Tibbs gives the prerequisite amount of burn to our roster early in the season so you don't burn everybody out. Jalen Brunson played in the World Championships. RJ Barrett played in the World Championships. Josh Hart played in the World Championships. And on some respects, you would think that they were already be in their rhythm, but at the same time, they did have a good playoff run. Short amount of recuperation time right into World Championships. So it's going to take them a minute to get their second win, so to speak. Am I worried? Big picture, no. But Jules, you want to be that dude? You want to be that dude that the rest of Knicks Nation can look upon with absolute confidence, then you need to handle your business on a more consistent basis. I don't give a fuck about Stephen A. I don't care about the pundits on the radio. It's all up to you. You need to be that dude. And if you can't prove yourself to be that dude, then that means you're going to be part of the problem. And what we need to do is cut you out of the equation. So therefore, we don't have no problems. It's still early. But there are things that we got to be concerned about. So no white flag, no yellow flag, no red flag. But 3 games into the season, we got another three games this week. Hopefully, guys, split these up. Win two out of three. Yeah, pretty much that put us at 500 through 6 games. It's a long season, but we need to get some type of cohesion going. Get that mojo going. Don't wait until the second half of the season to go on a run. Yeah. See, I told you. A little something. Now, my favorite segment. My mother effing favorite segment. Mike Steph must have bumped his mother effing head. AKA my gambling foray in the NFL season, week 8. You know, this week I actually cashed out for my first win of the season. I'll tell you straight up, I had a 4-leg parlay, right? That I salvaged before the Ravens gave up 9 points in the last few minutes to not cover the spread. Okay. So I had a 4-leg parlay. I had Vikings minus one. They won. They lost Kirk Cousins, but they won the game. I had my New York Jets to cover by 3. And guess what? We won by 3 against the Giants, even though for some reason my bet was voided. But neither here nor there. I'm still trying to figure out. Maybe it was because of the injury. I'm not sure, because DraftKings does do that. But that part of the parlay was voided. Don't know why. Then I had who did I have? I had the Bengals plus 4 against the 49ers. And not only did they cover the spread, they spanked the 49ers 31-14, 31-17 in San Fran. So they covered that. So it came down to the Ravens and the Cardinals. The Ravens had I had them at -9.5 against the Cardinals, because as we discussed on HGF, the Cardinals the last couple of weeks, since their win against the Dallas Cowboys, had not covered the spread, and they have lost by single digits pretty much for like 4 weeks in a row. So I figured Baltimore coming in hot off their trouncing of Detroit, the offense is moving, the Cardinals, they keep it close in the first half, and then they fall apart in the second half. I thought that 9.5 was a no-brainer. And it was, until it wasn't. So I just happened to look at my bets, and I see that, okay, Jets, Vikings, Bengals. Uh-oh. The Ravens, they're teetering. They were up, what was it? Was it 24? I think it was 24-7. The Cardinals go for 2 to bring the score to 24-15. I'm looking, I'm like, are you effing kidding me? What sense does it make to go for the 2-point conversion then? If you're down, you're down by 10, you're down by 9, you still need 2 effing scores. Why are you going to go for the 2? Of course, I'm biased, because I'm like, yo, that 10 is now a 9, and I have them at 9.5. Also had the under. Right? So, what does Baltimore do? Baltimore drives down the field, and they score. I'm just like, look, score a field goal. I win both ways. It goes back over the 9.5-point threshold. Plus, I'm still at the under. No, you know what these mother... You know, matter of fact, here's a word I haven't said in a while. You know what these cocksuckers did? They scored a touchdown. 31-15. So that kind of knocked me out of my other parlay that I had, but it still put me up 16 points. I'm like, oh, great. With the Baltimore defense, I know they're going to stand tough. Oh, how was I mistaken? Do you know that these cocksucking Baltimore Ravens gave up 9 points with less than 3 minutes remaining to bring the score to 31-24, in which that was the final score? But before that happened, when it was 31-15, when I looked at my bet, DraftKings gave me the opportunity to cash out. And I looked and I'm like, matter of fact, yeah, they gave me the opportunity to cash out. I'm like, darn. If I ride this through, I'll be able to get more. But something told me, listen, this is the first opportunity you've had all season to even have this cash out option. Take the money and run. Run! And that's what I did. So I cashed out. And good thing I did, because like I said, these cocksuckers gave up 9 points for less than 3 minutes remaining, and they did not cover the spread. But guess what? I did. Now, in other broken parlay news, the Chiefs effed up my other four-leg parlay, pretty much my late slate of games, by laying an egg against the Denver Broncos. And they lost 21-9. I had them for the spread, which was 6.5. I didn't have them for the money line because I'm like, look, I'll just do the spread. Because I figured that the Denver, something told me to have them to have Denver for the spread, but I just didn't trust Denver to actually play a representative game. But little did I know that Taylor Swift was not going to be in attendance. And Tay-Tay must got that power snatch, because when Tay-Tay is in attendance, you know there's a stat that when Tay-Tay is in attendance, Travis Kelce averages over 100 yards receiving per game. But when Tay-Tay is not in attendance, he averages under 50 yards per game receiving. So you mean to tell me what? Does she really shake it off? So he goes out there so fresh and so clean. Is she really about that bad blood? Is she really about taking him to another era? I don't know. Yeah, Chiefs effed up my parlay. But then I came to find out that Patrick Mahomes had been dealing with the flu late on in the week. So maybe that had something to do with subpar performance or the fact that it was just time for it was due for them to lose. I mean, now they're 6-2. Now, I had the Seahawks -4, and they covered due to a last second come from behind victory at home against the Cleveland Browns to win by exactly 4 points. And the, like I said, the Bengals won outright in San Francisco. So a little bit better. A little bit better this week. Starting to get my mojo. But did you know? Well, you didn't, because I didn't tell you yet. This past Thursday, I had a 7-leg parlay, Thursday Night Football, with the Bucks and the Bills. And do you know that I came within 1 yard of hitting that parlay because I had Mike Evans for a modest 40-yard total receiving? And you know how much that cocksucker gave me? You guessed it, 39 yards. So he cost, well, that missing yard cost me a potential winning of about $1,000. Meal bag of shells. Can't miss anything that you don't have, right? Damn if I do. Sure, I want that bread. Go figure. But yeah, so on this week's edition of Mike Steph must have bumped his mother effing head, Mike Steph actually got some coin in his pocket. So for more or less, I did come through with a profit, a modest profit, but a profit nevertheless. And maybe this is just a taste of things to come for the rest of the season. I got some added coinage in my account. And now with NBA season, maybe I could double up and throw some, have some multi sports parlays. Listen, some ice picks, throw some parlays, make a parlay with some hockey teams, and you know, really try to come up for the holiday season. Yeah. Whoa! It's only smoke and mirrors. No, I'm just fucking with you. Ain't no smoke and mirrors tonight. You know why there ain't no smoke and mirrors tonight? Because that brings us to the end of another edition of the Salty Thoughts, a Mike Step podcast. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me end this podcast, the one y'all choose to listen to and the one y'all choose to view. Next week, more of the same. Next week, I'm debating on whether or not I'm going to have a regular episode and then give y'all a little bonus sprinkle of salt to talk about my New York Jets, because they will be in action next Monday night against the aforementioned Los Angeles Chargers. Stay tuned to the Instagram page of Mike Steph, which I might as well talk about right now. The Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast is available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. New episodes drop each and every Wednesday. You can catch me out on all the social media platforms at Mike Steffen _ on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can catch me on the gram at Mike _ Steph on Instagram. And you can catch me at Mike Steph _ on TikTok. Check out, or should I say follow, the Instagram page of Mike _ Steph on the gram, to figure out whether or not I'm going to drop one Sunday night, early Monday morning, or I'm going to drop Monday night, early Tuesday morning. Even though, I don't know. Shoot. Depends how I feel. Really depends how I feel. If I feel like being the benevolent soul that I am. But being the fact I am the benevolent soul, check out Hidden Gems Football, hosted by the Mojo King and myself, Mike Steph. New episodes drop each and every Thursday. And this week, we haven't actually dropped it Thursday afternoon. Ain't that a bitch? Check us out on the 19 Media Group YouTube page. Matter of fact, that's what we're going to do. Check out this YouTube page that you're looking at me on right now. The YouTube page of at Mike Steph. Check out the community tab. And there will be information by the end of the week to let y'all know whether I'm going to drop late Sunday night, early Monday morning, or late Monday night, early Tuesday morning. Like I said, it all depends on how I feel about this upcoming Jets game. So, yeah. So, this has been this episode has been crazy, because I done hit y'all on three different platforms. I was on my old laptop, which rebooted now, go figure. I was on my trusty-ass phone for a quick minute, and then I'm on the laptop of Mrs. Ooh, who I just want to send a near and dear shout out, even though she's just in the room, and hopefully I'm not keeping her up because she has to go to the shoot job in a couple hours. But Mrs. Ooh, my lovely dear, my dear wife, I just want to say that I love you. I love you. I love you from the bottom of my heart. Oh, I know. I swear if I had a rose, I would put it up. But I just want to give that little shout out to you. You know, I'd like to give a shout out to my son, Chef Mix. He's probably not watching, but give a shout out to him. I give a shout out to my lovely daughter, Mia, aka Gogo, in her room, trying to get some much needed rest. Give a shout out to my daughter, Main Event K. Give a shout out to anybody that fuck with me outside of my family. Everybody that fucks with the Salty Thoughts of Mike Stepp, because we've been putting up numbers the last couple weeks, and I truly appreciate y'all from the bottom of my heart. You know, I'd like to give a shout out to, once again, everybody. Fuck it. So check me out next week. Same Mike Stepp time, same Mike Stepp channel, for more Salty Thoughts of Mike Stepp. And yeah, I think that'll be it. So until next week, goodbye. Damn. You know, sometimes I swear, I feel like Al Bundy out this bitch. Oh, shit. Y'all saw that? Hopefully y'all did it. But if y'all did, shoot. I'm the king of poke high, maybe. Goodbye.
Bye. Now.